Okay, here we go. Part 43 of about 100 probably here. Part 43 of what's in the Old Testament for us, not to us, but for us here. More of Ezekiel, even more of Ezekiel, will probably be done of Ezekiel today. Want the kids to have a little bit of a idea about this Ezekiel guy. So we just got so much again today to do. It's just amazing here. Okay. There was, in Ezekiel's day, a serious pollution problem. Now, you kids are going to grow up. Everybody in the world is talking about pollution. It's just terrible. We can't breathe very well, and the gas and the fumes in the air, unless it's boat gas, then that's okay. And the water mixed with oil, that's an okay smell. But look at chapter of Ezekiel here. So Ezekiel has some serious pollution problems to deal with. And we'll just look at one example of it here. Verse 11 of chapter 14, we're just going to try to touch some more quick things about this Ezekiel guy. Now, Friday night, we had a reading night, and we'll try to announce them a little bit more in advance for the next one, so everybody can come if you want. And let's see, Danica read about the vain visions that everybody had, because Ezekiel saw true things from God. And Olivia read part of what God told Ezekiel to do, part of his commission. And Caitlin read, the pan guy, the pan thing here. Now, it doesn't say frying pan, but when I read iron pan, that's kind of, this is not even iron, this is Teflon, so this is an NIV sample there, but, you know. He had to lay down, he had to put this iron pan between him for how many days, however many days of iniquity they did, and there was his last name, which we'll talk about here. Whatever. And then Gavino talked about the valley of the bones, which is quite a deal. So Ezekiel's got some amazing things. And then we did read verse chapter 1 about the vision that Ezekiel had about the glory of the Lord, and it's also explained in chapter 10 in a little bit more detail. So you could actually read chapter 1 and you could read chapter 10. And kids, please remember, this is real stuff. This is not fakery stuff. This is not stuff from the devil. This is stuff from God. Ezekiel was this kind of a guy. He was quite a guy. Boy, Isaiah was quite a guy. And who were the other guys? There's another Z in there, wasn't there? The two names are all pretty close together. No, there's Jeremiah. There's Isaiah. He had a bunch of stuff. No, the two guys. The one guy, I'm not even thinking this morning here. The one guy that had to put the fire come down from heaven. Elijah and Elisha. There we go. Remember those guys, Elisha and Elijah? All sorts of stuff. So 14 verse 11, let's look at some pollution that Ezekiel has to deal with. And it says in verse 11 that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me. Astray means leaving, just like your pets go astray, or if it's a stray cat, it's a dead cat. Means kind of the same thing. Isn't that right, Scott? Stray cat is a Greek word. The Greek word for stray cat is kill him. Kill him. Anyway. More astray from me, neither be polluted anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people. See, God can't have pollution. So if we went through a bunch of verses here, we would see that he says that the city of Jerusalem was polluted in their own blood. His namesake, God's name, was being polluted by these people, by God's people, was polluting his name before the heathen. By the way, who were the heathen then? Yeah, so our kind, in the Old Testament days, God's people were polluting his name in front of the Gentiles, in front of the heathen. So there was that. He says there in chapter 12, a lot of this is in chapter 20 actually, God's Sabbath was polluted. Special day, it was supposed to be kept holy. It was polluted. And then he goes on and says that they have not executed judgment. That's like a parent who doesn't deal with the discipline in the family. It backfires eventually. Not kept his judgments. that's somebody who doesn't do what they were supposed to do, his judgments, do what he has judged to do down there. They despise God's judgments. They walked not in his statutes. They despised his statutes. He says that their heart went after idols. And notice it doesn't say their flesh, it says their heart. I mean, that's what they wanted to do. You know, when we quit doing some things as a Christian, on the outside, where's our heart? Our heart still wants to do that. Our heart still wants to see that, taste that, drink that, watch that, see that, or whatever. Where's your heart? And that's very true. So there's that. They say he said that their heart went after idols. He said he polluted. They were polluted. They polluted themselves. And he says in their own gifts. How's that? That's a good Christmas message. I'll probably save that one. He did talk in verse. I heard some pages flipping. So it must be in chapter 20. Verse 26 talks about polluted themselves and their own gifts. And he also mentions they passed through the fire all that openeth the womb. That would be their children. Take them and stick them out there in the world, stick them out in the fire, and watch the world burn them up. And then in chapter 36, he mentions that their land was even polluted because it was polluted by their idols. Now, if we were to take the time to study all that stuff, we could apply some Old Testament preaching to us. Is your house polluted? How is your house polluted? Is it polluted with your idols? What is it that you do that you know you shouldn't do? I mean, all sorts of places to go with this thing. So, in the Old Testament days, God was not happy with his people because they polluted everything. So Ezekiel was going to have to deal with that. And if he didn't tell them, it was on his shoulders. So if you knew, Danica and Zach and Olivia, if you knew you were going to get in trouble, if you didn't tell your brothers or sisters that what they were doing was wrong and they're going to get in big trouble, but if you didn't tell them that, and you would get in big trouble, what would you do? You'd tell them. Because, hey, listen, you shouldn't be doing that, and it's really not my concern, it's not me that's going to get in trouble, but if I don't tell you not to do that, I'm going to get in trouble. And you know, and that doesn't seem fair. It's just like in a classroom, you got 25 kids sitting there, one of them's acting like a total moron, idiot, and the whole class is going to get in trouble, right? So the class, one of the kids goes over and tells that kid, hey, you know, we're going to meet you after school if you don't settle down. Then who gets caught talking? The kid to warn this kid, and this kid gets in big trouble. But Ezekiel had to tell God's people what was going on. Now, chapter 4. This was Caitlin's little time, Friday night reading. No, I had one more. I skipped. I want to skip. Go back to chapter 20. Sorry, chapter 20. Chapter 20. Verse 20. I have to point this out. Some of you might have this verse marked. They were to hallow my Sabbaths, he said, and they shall be a sign between me and you. There it is again. So today the Sabbath is zippity-doo-dah. It was just big for the Jews as a sign. Okay. Now back to chapter 4. Now, these are some wild... I get to go... During the week, I get to read my Bible and look at some notes and get out the concordance and type up sermons and stuff. And I do this all in my office, usually, or else on the front park bench in front of the church or whatever, if it's a nice day or whatever. And I come out here, and I stand here, and I talk to you. And I tell you these things. And you sit there, yes, that's good, yes. And I like to have a table so I can take my notes. Not that I'm going to do anything about it, but I do like to take my notes. And then we're going to go sit up there. You sit in the pews, and I come up there, and I stand, and I tell you a neat thing for tonight. Ah, neat thing for tonight. And I tell you this stuff, and then you get up, and you leave, and then you go off and do whatever you're going to do. Now, in Ezekiel's day, this poor pastor kind of a guy, I mean, he had to do some serious things. Why? Look at verse 3 of chapter 4. The last sentence in verse 3. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. So he had to, I suppose in some ways, act out or do a specific activity for a sign to God's people. And the one that Caitlin got to talk about, he says in verse 1 here, thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem. We're just going to imagine that the city's there, okay? And lay siege against it. and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it. Set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. How can he do all this? I mean, it's just like you all sit down with Legos and things, and you build these things, and you, it's kind of a portray is to portray it there, picture it there, okay? Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan. Remember that, Caleb? The iron pan. And set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city. And set thy face against it. In other words, put his face up against the pan. But, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. Why do I have to do this? Because this is a sign to the house of Israel. They're going to see this guy doing this thing. Now, I could probably come up with some object like, I'm yelling, aren't I? I'm loud, aren't I? I don't. But I got the shakes and everything this morning, so I don't know. I'm up on my meds, though. What's going on? And you're thinking, does he have his gun on him? Oh, well. And now here it gets even better. Verse 4. Lie thou also upon thy left side, okay, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of days thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear the iniquity. How many days did he have to lay on his left side there? For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. What? I have to do what? I've got to lay on this tile, this table, I got the stuff over here, and I got a pan in front of my face. For how long? 390 days. And then he's finally done. You know, what does he have to do? Roll over and do it again. And when thou art accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. You only got 40 days this time. Therefore thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thy arm shall be uncovered. What? And thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another. Oh, now that's, we got a problem here. When I was doing that thing the other day, the lady said I had to have my hands up so I can take pictures of the heart. She said, I can strap your hands down. I said, no. You can't do that. And this guy is going to be laying on his side in front of this fan. I suppose that portray is maybe Jerusalem's out there, I suppose, and it's just sitting out there. It's not a pretend. It's the actual city and stuff. And he's there in front of the pan. That's a long time to lay on the side. And then roll over and do it again. Is this what you want me to do? Do you want me to act out whatever it is that is messing up in your life whatsoever? I really hope not, because I could probably only do one of them and I'd be dead. So you can't do that. I guess.
Yeah, you have to lay that way for that many times. Yeah. Turn over and do it again. That was his prophecy.
40 days on one side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not the bad. 390 is the other one.
Mm-hmm. The other side.
Probably didn't even have daylight savings time. I mean, it's all just all right on a cross. Probably didn't have TV to watch. I mean, he's had to lay there. Later. And you think you got it rough, huh?
No.
He was banded down. He was strapped down in verse 8. It says that they up at verse 3, it's a sign, the iniquity of the house of Israel, chapter 4. This is how many days that they've been doing wrong. Can Ezekiel just stand up and tell them? Hey, 390 days. Shame on you. And go off and go golfing. Let's go to chapter 13. Chapter 13? No, it isn't chapter 13. It's the same chapter. I didn't put down the chapter there. Now, I won't do much with this one. Verse 9. Take thou also unto thee wheat, barley and beans and lentils, and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. Oh, here we go. 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. Look at the menu. Whew. I'm not sure what a fitch is, but it doesn't sound appetizing. Is that a spice? It's not kind of a bird or anything, is it?
No.
And thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. I hope that's a lot. I mean, he's out even on a diet. Bible diet here. From time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, the sixth part of an hin, and from time to time shalt thou drink. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of man in their sight. Now suddenly we've got a real serious problem here. Have you read this before? Oh, this is so fun. I love to have, yeah, okay. Yeah. Verse 13, and the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles. So there's why he's doing all this. Well, I say, we are bad news, aren't we? Gentiles. Whither I will guide them. Then said I, here's Ezekiel. I mean, give the guy credit. He did have an answer. Ah, Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted. For from my youth up, even till now, have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself, or is torn in pieces, neither came their abominable flesh into my mouth. Well, I bet you he was glad he could say that. Then he said unto me, lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung. Oh, thanks. I'm so thrilled. Right? It just kind of changes your dessert after dinner, doesn't it? I wonder if Betty Crocker knows this recipe here. Moreover, he said unto me,
but that would be a great gift to have the couch on instead of the dinner.
Marvelous, yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Well, I'm too, yeah. You know me, Mr. Serious, yeah. I mean, in the prairie, what did they use? People stuff? No, they had to use cow stuff. Buffalo stuff. Yeah, buffalo stuff. Did they use people stuff?
No, we use mostly buffalo chips, what they call buffalo chips.
Wonder why. What's the matter? We can hit people, so they got your own energy. Well, they are doing that today, trying to find a way to do people stuff into energy and all that stuff.
Okay, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Are they putting it down in the food or cooking, just burning it down to eat?
Well, bake it with... Bake it with dung. You ever bake something with sugar? Did you put it in the oven away from the stuff? You put it in the stuff.
They did burn.
Yeah? You're trying, but it's just not working.
Bake it with.
Okay, well, remember that next time you're going to bake something. Leave out an ingredient, put it next to it or something. Put it in the fire or whatever. Bake it with. Don't put it in it, but just bake it with it.
No, I'm saying that dung is the fuel.
Right?
Not ingredients.
Well, who cares? Why would he be so upset about the kind of fuel? I mean, do you care what kind of fuel you use?
It's not worth the fuel in dung then.
Yeah, but they still had to do it. And then up in verse 14, he says, why does he care what flesh has ever gone into his mouth? Yeah, neither came there abominable flesh into my mouth. I've been clean so far. Why not? So, okay, I'll give you cow stuff. I'll be nice to you. You're right. You've been a good guy.
13 says the final
brand.
Yeah.
Did
that mess it up?
Yeah, I would mess it up.
Okay, you give in?
I give in.
He wrote it the way he wanted it, huh? Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure with astonishment, that they may want bread and water and be astonished. I'm sure there would be one with another and consume away their iniquity. Consume away for their iniquity. So it's an eating situation here. Let's go to chapter 5, another one here, a trip to the razor. And thou, son of man, take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard, then take the balances to weigh and divide the hair. Now, if any kids are Kamala's there today? Okay, now boys, Paul, Luke, Stephen, Nathan, don't get on any scissors or any cute thing and try to reenact this at home. It would be fun though, wouldn't it? Just an object lesson like this. So then take the balances to weigh and divide the hair. Thou shalt burn with a fire a third part in the midst of the city. And you go through this thing and you see that some of their hair had to be burnt for the midst of the city was cut up with a knife. One was supposed to be scattered in the wind. One had to deal with, oh, I know what it is. Look at verse 10. Look at this. This is amazing. You think the human cow dung thing is a story. Look at verse 10. Therefore the father shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers.
Which verse?
10. Chapter 5, verse 10. Look at verse 11. Whereof as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things, and with all thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee. So this is quite a thing in the Old Testament days. And what I want you to, I guess, think about tonight, that's some serious things God would do to a person, because they polluted his sanctuary or his people and all the different things that were polluted. Is that a fear that we have today? Well, I know, you know, that we're saved and everything, so we need to fear God along those lines, but what is it to fear God? Just think about that. Because if this was the issue, we would be probably doing better. You think we would be? I would say probably not, because they didn't. So who are we? But do we have to deal with it? Then let me ask you this. Is Ezekiel and God's relationship, the way he's talking to his people, is that an example for us as a father? Is this how we should look to our children and put the fear of dad, fear of father, fear of God into our children because of what you would do to them if they do wrong? And if you know that that isn't Paul's way, do you see other people thinking that that's the way it should be done according to the Bible? Does it take Paul to realize the fear of God that he's going to do that? Is that the thing? I want you to think about that for tonight. I think it's a real marvelous thing that I'll show you tonight about fearing God. So what we're reading about here this morning is obviously Paul, or God, is trying to tell, use Ezekiel to show these people that what? I am God. And you're polluting everything that I've given you, and da-da-da-da. So he's giving him some serious lessons. So why is he giving these lessons like this? Because they are a sign. It's a sign. You couldn't tell the Jews in those days. You had to show it to them. They had to see something. And in lots of ways we're that way too. We don't forget things that we see in an illustration near as much as it's easy for us to forget what somebody said. I think that's why sometimes a bully in a classroom, he could tell somebody, I'm going to beat you up after school. And the other kid can kind of forget that. But it's just before that, the bully kid is walking out of the school, or walking into the class, he does one of these things to your face. Kind of reminds you, oh, that's right, he's going to beat me up after school. Next class period, you're walking down the aisle or the hallway, and you see him off in the corner, and he sees you, and he goes, that's a sign. You know, going to get you after school. So we remember the visual things much more than we do just somebody telling us something. Probably why we used to get report cards. They were assigned to our parents. Are we doing good or not? Or whatever. Go where you want with that thing. Chapter 37, skipping a bunch of stuff with Ezekiel. I still think that our little kids can learn some stuff about Ezekiel. I think he's worth teaching to your children. I probably don't want to ask, has anybody yet read Ezekiel, the things we've talked about, to their children? I like to think everybody's done it, and the kids know a lot of these things, and I'm not gonna find out. Fear of failure has always been a problem I've had. Okay, now we go to chapter 37, and this was Gavino's. This was Gavino's read. And this is just one of those things that you kind of have to picture, and you read slowly with your kids, and you tell your kids, yes, this really is true. And this is just the dry bone story, which I know that we are all... Are you familiar with that one, too, at all? Valley of the Dry Bones?
I read it, but...
Yeah. Okay. Look at verse 11. So here's the whole story. All these bones come together, out of the hip bones connected to the... All that kind of stuff. You know that song, Jimmy?
I've heard it. I know, yeah. Brother.
They're the ones that do that. I bet they do that pretty milky. Verse 11, here's why. Here's what this whole thing is about. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. I suppose they had part stores in those days, and they just figured they were dead. They're gone. They're done. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. So that they're going to get resurrected again. So this, now Ezekiel could have gone up there and stood and told everybody. Just could have told them. And they would have had to believe it because he's a prophet of God, and they'd have to believe that. But Instead, he goes out there in this valley and he takes all these dead bones and they just all come back alive, and the skin comes back and the guts come back into them, and God breathes life into them again. They go strutting off the town. Now that would really put, let's see Benny Hinn try that one. Or anybody. Yeah. And do you think that that would wake you up if I could do something like that? And we would see, we were like, LD says, well, yeah, I think I would respond to that. Well, but they didn't. They still had to have a Messiah come down. Well, that would have taken care of it. Well, no, it didn't. They killed their Messiah. Well, the Messiah saw come back again through the preacher. Well, you think that would have worked, but it didn't. They killed the preacher. Then they go to Paul. Jesus goes to Paul and makes everything just as here the whole, here's my walk, I'll give it to you. You would think that would straight everybody out, but it doesn't. And so then he's going to take out the few people that had the faith. Then he's going to come down here with a tribulation the world has never seen before. I mean, absolutely never seen before. And you would think, that'll get him. I mean, that is one serious whipping. You know, the dad says, okay, you are never going to do this again. And you just black and blue bruise them, and you bleed them and the whole thing, and they'll never do that again. What does the kid do in about a week? He does it again. What does the world do during the tribulation? They actually think they can fight against the Lord. He comes down. He actually comes back. The spanking doesn't even work. He comes back to take care of it. What do? They fight against him there. So he takes care of all that stuff. Then we get into the millennium where everything is just, I mean, it's just like a garden again. What have we got? We got people that don't want to do it. So this is nothing compared to what's coming up for these people. So they don't want to do that. So what can we learn from that? Remarkably, yeah. And we would have to say, not just people, we would have to say, let's get more personal. All of us, we. How stubborn we are. And remember, this whole thing is about God's people polluting the name, his name, because they're hanging around who? Us, Gentiles. I mean, are you getting that? Us Gentile people. We are such that if God's people mess with us, they got in trouble. Do you ever have anybody, when your kid, or maybe your own personal life, you ever had anybody else that you know got in trouble because you showed up? Yep. You know what I mean? You are such a bad person. You have such a low self-image or whatever, and you walk into the room and somebody leaves, do you think, I think the left is of me. This is how God saw the Gentiles, heathen. And if his people messed with the heathen, he was not happy with that. And now, what has God done? God has gone to the heathen and then just laid it on the table. I'll show you some more tonight of what how we deal with this stuff. And is it any wonder they wanted to kill Paul? Because Paul said, hey, we're going on to the Gentiles now. You know the heathen? You know those that pollute, all that kind of stuff? Wow. Anyway, let's go to chapter 43. What does Paul warn about us in Romans chapter 11? That we don't become so what? Conceited. We cannot forget that our old nature, and I believe this, our old nature is worse than a Jew's old nature. That's an odd thought, and I couldn't prove that other than the heathen compared to God's people in the Old Testament. The issues that we fight with our old nature, I wonder if the Jews do, because the Jews are so much more holy oriented, but even when they're little. I mean, it's just a thought, because what we have to deal with in our flesh is really pretty wicked, and a lot of Christians don't think so. That's why he says don't become so conceited that you think this is all because of you. This is all because of his people that we have. So just a thought, I don't know. Chapter 43, verse 1. Probably shouldn't have brought that up. It's an unprovable thing. Just a thought. Chapter 1. Oh, by the way, in the book of Ezekiel, at least 30 times. 30. Anybody here 30 years old? They're about, how old are you, Tim? 30? 33, getting old.
Yeah.
And it's over 30 times it says in Ezekiel, that Ezekiel says, the Spirit of God carried me or brought me carried me or brought me to another place. The Spirit of God would do that to Ezekiel 30 times. And then also over 50 times does Ezekiel say, and the Word of God came unto me, saying. And the one thing is, we're looking at all the different things, all the different places that the Spirit of God took Ezekiel to. And then also, over 50 times, the Word of God came unto me. I mean, God would tell him. And so, how do we hear from God for the kids' sake again? How do we hear from God today? In the Bible. And you can get more than 50 times. We just have to remember that the Spirit of God is not going to lift us up and move us someplace else. And He's not going to lift us up and show us our future. You read your Bible, you can read your future. You kids know that? Future means what's coming up in the rest of your life. You can get a lot of that out of your Bible. He won't tell you who your husband's going to be. That would probably scare you when you were little. Who? What? No. Well, he's going to get better when he's around 15. Yeah, I don't want to know this. You know. Just like they can tell, they want to tell you when you have babies, well, is this one going to have, before you have this baby, is it going to have bad eyes, or is it going to, you know, play piano or whatever? And if it can't do that, let's abort them, let's kill them. And you want to find out what gene you have so you possibly can get self-concreteitis. You know, the stuff that, that's what I call that thing. Do you want to know what you're going to die of? I know I'm going to die of. My heart's going to quit. I hope that's what it is, and I hope it's sudden. If I'm going to choke to death. But that's the thing about the future. This Bible will tell you kids more about your future than you can even imagine. It really can. And then it can tell about the future on the other side. That you can get in detail. But that's okay. We don't want to know that. We just assume have our toys and games and stuff. Chapter 43, verse 1. Here we go. Run out of time here. Sorry, I'm yakking this morning. After it, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of... Do you know that's why they bury the graves are facing east? You know that? I'm not sure if that's a 100% thing. I think it is. That all graves have to be buried with their feet, their face facing east. So when the Lord comes back, it's kind of one of those deals.
Even in Japan, they stand them up facing the ground. They'd have to bury them standing straight up in the ground. If you're in Japan, because of the room, black room, they'll stand them up facing east.
Yeah. Weird, huh? Not for everybody. There'll be short holes for some people. They could probably stack your family on top of it and be that big of a hole, you know. Okay, here we go. Now, kids, picture this now. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters. Here's what you do. You go home today, and you turn on your bathtub, and you just get that water squishing as loud as you can, and put your ear right on it, and that noise of the water rushing, you ever done that? That's a little bit of what we're talking about here, the noise of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city, and the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell upon my face, or Chebar, or whatever, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. There it is again. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. That's a lot what this Bible's like. But it's, you don't hear it. I don't hear the rushing waters. And this is not lighting up the earth, the ground. It's not shining. But that's what this Bible is. It's the spiritual shine, and it's the spiritual waters that we're hearing. But anyway. And speaking of spiritual waters, let's go to chapter 47. Here's another one. 47. It's amazing stuff. And you really got to sit down and just think about them as you go and talk about them. Everybody's too busy. 47. And we're just going to look at time-wise. We're going to look at, let's just read the first 12 verses here. We've got time, I think. Afterward, he brought me again. Here we go again. See? He's bringing him someplace else. Well, he had quite a ministry. afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued up. Now, by the way, we're up in the New Jerusalem. We're up in the future stuff here. This is way beyond today. So he sees her unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. Now, how many here have water coming out from underneath their house? You don't want that. You got a river under your... You guys are building. Do you want to build a river comes out of your house? Might as well add that to your list. I mean, hey, probably cheaper just to dig a hole and you can fill water in it. That'd be so bad. You have a water coming out of underneath your house. Now, look at this, kids. I mean... And the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought me here out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand, must have been fishing, had a line in his hand there, and went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. Oh, he's measuring things, okay. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. You ever gone in the water and just up your ankles now? I hope this was warm water. Yeah, that cold water thing is a real challenge. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, or a river that could not be passed over. He's over his head. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. And you see trees on the side of the river all the time. Then he said unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert, go down into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. I mean, you just get into that water and you'll live forever. Wouldn't that be something? And it gets even better than that. Your grandpa would like this one, Danica. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Gileam. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. Yuck. So they had to get this. This is a holy river, water, that they would heal. And what do we have today? We've got people that say, if you buy this water, you can be healed. They really do. When you kids grow up, don't ever believe anybody is telling the truth, Kaylin. When anybody gives you water that says, here, drink this or put this on you and it'll heal you. They're getting that from Ezekiel, and that's not till down the road. And the fishing, you might as well quit fishing. Because here's this water that's healing. Well, a fish is just not going to die because it's in the water. Those are holy fish. And you're going to take them out of the holy place? Yes, God doesn't care. The fish are for. Anyway, quite the stuff. Now, go to Ezekiel chapter 28. There's something in Ezekiel that is really quite amazing. All these things that Ezekiel's talking about God and his people and the pollution and his rivers, and he talks about the temple being rebuilt at the end, and God's going to take care of them and bless them all over again at the very end after they go through all these horrible years. And they're rebelling against God, but when God says he loves you, he won't change it. That kind of a thing. But in Ezekiel chapter 28, there's quite a description here, and this is a description of the devil. Let's go down to verse 11, Ezekiel 28:11. And here's where we can learn some details about the devil. And it also ties in with Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 15. You look at Isaiah chapter 15, and you read Ezekiel chapter 28, you can learn an awful lot about the devil, about Satan, Lucifer. Here's what he says. Now this is, I don't understand this totally, but he's talking about the king of Tyrus. And so this has to be referring to the devil, and here's why. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. This is that king. But now we know that there's something else going on in his writings, because he says in verse 13, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Remember, read anything about King of Tyrus in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? It's not in there. So this is not about Adam. And if it was about Eve, it would be a queen of Tyrus. So this is about the devil. Now you study this thing really slowly. We already see that what? He's full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, apparently there must have been a crack in the system somewhere, because he really made a stupid decision here. And he's not the brother of Jesus, by the way. Crazy. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering on him. Okay? The sardis, the topaz, goes through the whole list. And the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I set thee as was upon the holy mountain of God. That thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Oh, this is, you can learn an awful lot about him. Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reasoning of thy brightness. And yes, he's talking about the king of Tyrus, but you look at that, we know that he's talking about the devil. Then you read Isaiah chapter 15, and he says in Isaiah that I'm going to be like the Most High. So this devil, this anointed cherub, was so big on himself. He was so beautiful and so bright, and he was so everything, he wanted to become higher than God. And that's what this whole thing is about, is the devil thinks he can take over God's place. That's all this is about, all these years. That's what it is. So we can learn that from Ezekiel and Isaiah. And then we get one more quick thing here. Look at chapter 48. And parents, seriously, you really have an opportunity to sit down with your kids and read them some neat stuff. And don't just read through like it's a school assignment. I mean, talk about it. Find some spots. Isaiah 48, this is tremendous detail about all these chapters here about New Jerusalem. But I think verse 35 is an interesting verse. He gets all done talking about the size of this and the goings out of the city, 4,500 measures. The last verse, he said, it was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Did you know that? That's the name of the city. The Lord is there. The name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Now, why would he name the city the Lord is there? Because You're so quick. Yeah. Well, what would we call Tushy? The Lord is not there. You know? Well, yeah, I mean, he's not there. Today, he's in us. But he will be there. Now, is it all understandable? No, and don't be afraid to tell your kids. I don't understand this stuff either, kids, but this is what it says. And we believe by faith. And we believe what he says is what he says. We just may not understand it all. And teach your kids that kind of stuff. Okay, then we're done.